Okay. The Gemara is picking up on its discussion about speaking in a proper fashion. And the Gemara tells us that interesting story about two Talmid Chachamim, one who described something that he's as tired as a pig, the other one said he's as tired as a goat. And Rav said, the one who said he's as tired as a pig, you know that he's not going to end up being Matzliach in his learning. And in the end of the day, he wasn't Matzliach in his learning because of the way that he spoke, because he knew that he was, you know, something over there was wrong. Then the Gemara says, the one spoke, right? Also, one spoke B'Lashon Tahara, one spoke B'Lashon Tumah. Yeah, and then he said, the one who spoke B'Lashon Tahara, you know that he's not going to be a Merbi HaRabi Yisrael, The one who spoke only, you know, he said Einena Tahara, the one who said Tameh ended up not being Matzliach, the one who said Einena Tahara was Matzliach. So then the Gemara tells the story of Hanu Tlasa Kahani. There were three Kohanim, Chad Amalahu Hegiyani Kapol. One said, I got a portion from the carbon that was the size of a pole. Chad Amar Hegiyani Kizayis. One said, somewhat smaller, the size of an olive. The other one said he got the amount of a znav halta, which is the end of the fatty tail. So badku acharav, you know, and, which is not a nice thing to say, complain about how little you got. So badku acharav, umatzu b'shem es psul. They checked after him and they found Taka, he wasn't actually Jewish. So then the Gemara says, 1 minute, how can you, you don't check people. Once the guy's eating karbonis, he's a meyuchas to kakayin. Why are we checking into his past? Once the guy has a chazaka for eating from karbonis, we don't check into his past. So the Gemara says, you're right, don't say that we found out that he wasn't Jewish. We found bad midas. Or if you want, I'll tell you, shani hasim diyudarad nafshei. There he gave us an indication that something was wrong with him, because he spoke improperly. Who complained? What kind of kohen complains about the karbanos, you know, how much he gets from the karban? So he already put up a red flag, and therefore we had the right to check into his background, even though typically in bodkim minim is be'achul l'mayla, if a person already is eating karbanos, we don't necessarily look into their past. Then the Gemara goes on to tell a famous maysa with a certain Aramean, Hahu Armo, Davisavik v'achav sachem b'yushalayim, and it's based off the discussion we just had, about a person who was complaining that he got too little from the fatty tail, so we ended up checking into his background and we found that he wasn't Jewish. So there was a certain Aramean, Davisag v'achav sachem b'yushalayim, who would go up from Bavel and eat karbonis in Yushalayim. He would tell them that he was Jewish, and they would give him a portion from the karbon. Amar ksiv kol ben necha lo yoichabo, and he was bragging. He says, the pasuk says, kol ben necha lo yoichabo, from the karbon Pesach, only the Jews are allowed to eat and not a nachri. Kol ara lo yoichabo, and anyone who doesn't have a prismila is not allowed to eat from the karbon Pesach. V'ana ha-karachilna mi shufri shufri. He said, they gave me from the best of the karbonis in Yerushalayim, even from the karbon Pesach. So he was bragging about this in Bavel. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira overheard him. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Mika safal lecha meyuya, did they give you to eat from the tail, which was the fattiest meat, and therefore, you know, the most delicious? Amalei loy. He said, no, I didn't get to eat from the tail. So he told him, Kisalikta lohasam, emelahu safali meyaya. So Yehuda ben Beseira said, you know what, the next time you go to Yerushalayim for Pesach, tell them you want to eat from the tail. Amalei, so he said, Kisalikta lohasam, amalahu safali meyuya. Oh, he told him, when you go up to there, tell them you want to have from the tail. Kisalik, when he went up, Amalahu me'alya safuli, said, I demand to eat from the tail. But the tail is not one of the part of the karbonas that we eat. That part is nikrav al-gabi ha-mizbech. Every Jew knew that, who came to eat karbonas. Not every Jew now knows that, because not everyone, we don't practice karbonas. But every Jew in the time of Beis HaMikdash knew that you didn't eat from the tail. That was one of the things that was burned al-gabi ha-mizbech. So they said, what kind of person asked for the tail? No one eats from the tail. How do you not know that? So Amalei ilya gavaya salka, Amalei man amalecha. Who told you, to ask for the tail? I mean, where did you get the idea that you could have the tail? Man amalecha hachi, amalehu, Rehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira told me to ask for the tail. So he came kind of with a doctor's note from Rehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said, give me the tail. So they knew that something was up. So Amru, my hide to come on, bud, my hide to come on. What's going on over here? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira told him to ask for the tail. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira knew he didn't get from the tail. So bud, kachar, vashkechu, dar mohavo. They looked into him and they saw that he was an Aramean, v'kataluhu. So they killed him. Shal chulei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, they sent the message back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, famous line. Shalom lecha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, hello to you. Shalom to you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Da'at b'netzivin, you are in netzivin, umetzud dascha. But your trap was set all the way over here in Yerushalayim. So Yerudim and Beseira set a trap for him in Yerushalayim that they would be able to find out who he was. You see from this Gemara many fantastic things, but one of them is that if a person appears on the scene and claims to be Jewish, we recognize his Jewishness. We assume that he is Jewish. Over here, they looked into his past because, right, of the trap of Yerudim and Beseira. But otherwise, if someone appears on the scene and claims to be Jewish, it sounds like we believe him. So Taisus is quick to write over here, Mikan ain raya shenamin l'chol abo'af aneinu v'om Yisrael need to show that we believe him. Don't, you can't bring a proof from here that everyone who comes and says I'm a Jew, we would believe him. The Aramean, they believed him for years, and they gave him to eat from the carbon Pesach. No, but here's a little different. The shiny hach of the Rav Yisrael hayu v'azinu v'saruba. How many people came to Beis HaMikdash and asked for carbonos? Who was there in Jerusalem in those days? Mainly Jews. So, well, guy is asking for carbonos, most likely he's Jewish, right? If the guy is fighting over shlishi, you know, how many goyim are fighting over shlishi? So the likelihood is that the guy is Jewish. So, but you can't bring a proof to here that anybody who shows up on the scene and claims to be part of the Jewish community is believed, and their Jewishness, you know, their Jewish identity goes without question. Maybe not. But Tosfos says you can bring a proof to that from somewhere else. He doesn't think that you can bring a proof from here, but he thinks the din is correct, and you can bring a proof from somewhere else. From where? From a Gemara Mesechtes Yevamos. So, Chevra, I gave you the Gemara in Yevamos on the sheet over here, Mem Hamad Aleph. The Gemara there has a discussion, I think we mentioned it a few weeks ago, about an Ovi Kachavim Ve'Eved Abo Abbas Yisrael. If you have a non-Jewish man who has a child with a Jewish woman, what is the status of the child? We all know the child is Jewish. Right? But, so the child is Jewish. But that was actually a machlokas in the Gemara. Somehow the child is not Jewish, somehow the child is Jewish. So there was a Rav, though, the Gemara says, Paskin, the child, is Jewish. One held the child is not Jewish, the other held the child is a mamzer. We discussed this in the context of mamzer. So the Huda also came to Rav. Rav Paskin, the child, is Jewish, though. So Amalei, Ovi Kocham Vevet Abobas Yisrael Mahu. What's the story of the child of a union between a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman? Amalei, he said to him, Havlad Kosher, the child is a kosher, a Jew. So he said, fine, Havli Barteich. He said, you have a daughter in Shiduchim, I'll take your daughter. Lo Yehidna Lecha. He said, no, I'm not going to give her to you. That was a very romantic gesture, but I'm not going to give her. You know, I'm not going to give her to you. Ina Havi, Ki Yeshua Ben Nun, Lo Yehidna Libarti. Even if you would be Ki'ilu Rav Yeshua Ben Nun, reincarnated, I would not give you my daughter. So he said to him, I Havi Ki Yeshua Ben Nun, if I would be like Yeshua Ben Nun, I wouldn't need your daughter. I would find someone else. The problem is, I'm not Yeshua Ben Nun. What's going to be with me now? So he pestered and pestered Rav and had an unfortunate ending. Someone ended up dying as a result of the fact that he wouldn't leave Rav alone. But what should such a person do? So Amar of Masna, Mara Balahatera, Rav Masna also said that the person is a Yisrael Kosher. Rav Yehuda, Mara Balahatera. And even Rav Yehuda said that Eved Vachma Boba still is a Vlad Kosher. So what should he do though? No one's going to give him his daughter for Shiduchim. So the Chiyaza Kameh de Rav Yehuda, Amalei, when he came before Rav Yehuda, he said, fine, you pass me them Kosher. But who's going to marry me? Amalei zil itmar or nasa bas minach? So go and hide yourself or marry someone else who comes from a similar circumstance. For she has a kameh derava, amalei oigali or nasa bas minach. Not that you should hide your identity. Go somewhere where no one knows you. And marry someone who comes from a similar background who one of their parents is not Jewish. Okay. But what do you see from the Gemara? That if he'll go into galus where no one knows him, then he can, you know, he can get married over there. How is Golos going to help? Whether the people out of town are more accepting, you know, this is not New York over here. The people out of town are more accepting of people who come from more colorful backgrounds, you know, or out of the box backgrounds than people within New York. What was going on over here? No, the answer is he's going to hide his identity. He's not going to tell them. Wow. What does that mean about what you have to reveal on your Shidduch resume? Do you have to say who your parents are? Do you have to say, you know, if you don't have to say that your father's not Jewish, you know, what does that indicate about what is the threshold of that which needs to be revealed for Shiduchim? You would think that would be something that you might mention, that, you know, that you know, one of the parents is not Jewish. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but it'd be something that the person, we shouldn't judge anybody, but that a person should be, you know, you would think that'd be something you might need to mention. So the Stipler has a long arichus on this Gemara that you see the threshold for what you need to reveal is quite high. You don't need to reveal everything. Others disagree with this type point. They say, no, you know why? Over here you don't have to tell the father's Jewish because it doesn't matter to the couple. at the end of the day, they'll live a fine life, and this won't matter at all. But anything that impacts upon the couple, that does need to be revealed. Whether that's true today or not, that the parents don't matter within a wedding. You know, everyone always says, you're marrying the girl, you're not marrying the family. That's absolutely not true. You're marrying the girl, and you're marrying the family. So they continue to affect you for the foreseeable future. So what the father's identity is could impact upon the couple. So it's not okay. We have to figure out that Gemara in terms of discussing Shiduchim. We discussed this on another occasion once, I think, in the past. But either way, you see from here, he doesn't need to reveal that he's Jewish. But 1 minute, forget about the fact that he didn't need to reveal to the Kala that his father isn't Jewish. How about the fact that he went for an Aliyah and no one asked him, by the way, who's your father? Meaning no one knows the ancestry of this guy at all. So maybe his mother's not Jewish either. The guy shows up in the community and no one's asking questions about him. So Taisa says, you see from this Gemara that you don't need to reveal, we don't need to do investigations in terms of the determining a person's status as a Jew. Otherwise, how would going into Goa's help? They're going to do a deep dive background check with private investigators and they'll find out who the father is. So it must be no one is checking into his background, and we believe people at their word when they come and they say that they're kosher Jews. So Taisa thinks you can bring a raya from this Gemara. It could be, though, that this is, in fact, a machlekes harishonim, because the Gemara says in Masechtas Kiddush in the following, Hanoise isha kohenes, if a person is marrying a woman who is the daughter of a kohen tzarek, livdoik achareha, you have to check into her to make sure that she's not a chalala. If the father was married to a grusha, then the daughter will be a chalala. So you have to make sure that the daughter is not a chalala, so you have to check into her background. Arba imahos shein shmoina. You have to check in 4 generations, which is really 8, right? Because the more generations you go back, it ends up doubling. Ima, ve'em ima, ve'em avi ima, ve'ima. Okay, a whole story of who you have to check into. Levi of Yisraelis, mosifin olein oirachas. Then you have to check back if she's a Levi or Yisraelis. You have to check back even further. But if they were eating for karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, if the guy's already been accepted for a communal position within the community, that he's eating karbonis or that he's duchening, then we assume that he's kosher. If his father, the father was on the Sanhedrin, you could assume that they're already a kosher family within Klal Yisrael. But otherwise, you have to check. Wow, okay. Why is it only mentioned the door, the wives? You have to check into the kala. Why doesn't it mention the chosin? So Gemara there explains in the opinion of the Tana of the Mishnah, because when women fight, they fight about other things. When men fight, you make fun of their family. So if this guy, your mother this, your father that, so if there would be a psul, and this guy's family would have come out in the schoolyard disputes, that someone would have called him Ben this or, Ben that. So it must be that if he made it this far in his Jewish training, or within the community, that there must be that there's nothing possible about the guy. Otherwise, we would have found out about it. Women, they insult each other with other things, not about the family. Okay, interesting observation of the Gemara. Fine, but Amar of Yehuda Amar Rab, Zu Divrei Reb Meir. That's the opinion of Reb Meir, that you need background checks. Ava Chachamim Oimrim. Chachamim say, Kol HaMishpachos Becheskos Ksheiros Heinoimdin. All of the Mishpachos in Klal Yisrael are Becheskos Kashrus. The Gemara goes on to say that that's only assuming there's no red flag. If there's a red flag, kishakare alav ear air. If there's rumors about them, then we have to check into it. But if there's no rumors about them, haven't heard anything, neither good nor bad, hide nor hair, so then we say, okay, then kolam mishpachos becheskes ksherusay. And that's the opinion of the Chachamim. So it's machlekes remain the Chachamim. Do you have to check into the background of a prospective spouse? So the Gemara Masechtas Ksubis, though, seems to take a stand over here. The Gemara says, Ani Kohen, if a person comes and presents himself as a Kohen, V'chavri Kohen, Nemel Achilo Truma, V'eino Nemel Asiyo Isha. A person comes and he says he's a Kohen, it's fine, we can give him Truma to eat, Eid Echad Nemon Bisurin. When it comes to who's a Kohen to eat Truma, is a matter of Isav Heter, just like a matter of food is kosher or treif. One witness is believed, just like the Mashgiach in the restaurant is believed. You don't need 2 witnesses, that's fine. But for him to marry a Jewish girl, you need 2 witnesses. Ve'eino nemel lesiyo isha atchiyu gimel. Shnayim me'idim al zeh, v'shnayim me'idim al zeh. 2 to testify about this one, and 2 to testify about that one. So you need 2 witnesses. What's going on over here? Why do you need 2 witnesses? Isn't 1 person believed to say that he's a Jew? So Rashi there writes in that Gemara Masechtas Ksubis that this follows Reb Meir. And we paskin like Reb Meir, that you have to check into the background of a prospective person who claims to be Jewish and we don't have really knowledge of them within the community. That's the opinion of Rashi. We pass like Reb Meir. Taisus and other Rishonim disagree, and they feel that we paskin like the Chachamim, even if that Gemara is like Rameir. We don't paskin like Rameir, we paskin like the Chachamim. Even within those Rishonim, though, who paskin like the Chachamim, one could distinguish between a family that we know, right? We never did a background check, but they've been part of the community for a few generations, or a family who really literally came from nowhere. Maybe that family, you know, came out of the blue. That kind of a family needs to be checked into. So look over here. The Torah quotes three opinions in Rishonim. He says, "V'chol aratzah stamim v'cheskes sheres hein oimdim v'ish or isha sheyavol inase ein tzarek v'derech akreyam kral." First quotes the opinion of Taisvis, Rava Rishonim, who paskin like the Chachamim. "Kol ha'mishpachas v'cheskes kashrus hein," unless there is, of course, a red flag, but otherwise, we assume that they're kosher. "Aval Rashi pirish isha balisa isha tzarek libdek acharav kodim shisa uhu." Rashi Pasan Kermeyer, we need a background check. V'chein cause of Harama. Then the Torah quotes from the Rama. And he explains, we make such a distinction as he mentioned earlier. Upirish Hada Amar Komas Sprachas Bechetskes Kshashras. Meaning, even within the opinion of the Chachamim, perhaps the only time they said this, Hainu Mandi Isle Cheskes Kshashras. A person who has a Cheskes Kshashras. Koha Mishprachas Bechetskes Kshashras. Hey, that's if we know them before. Ain't Sarkliv Dar Kacharav. Of Amman de Lesle Cheskes Kashrus, we never heard of the guy before. Kegon Sheim Mishpachtu Yodua, no one knows them. Tzarek Raya Li Chusim, Li Yuchsam, the Ein Eid Echad Neman, the Eid Echad is not believed here, in this kind of a situation. So we have really three opinions. Rashi, who holds you always need to check a background. Of course, if you check one member of the family, that's enough. But even if they've been part of the community for a while, we need to actually, you know, have a verification here. According to Taisves, Kol Mishpachas Bechetskes Kashrus Hein. And according to the Rama, it depends if we know the family, if we don't know the family, if we know the family already, so then we don't have to check into them. Even if there was never a formal investigation, if we don't know the family, then we do need to check into them. How do we paskin Shulchan Aruch? We paskin, if you looked it up, in Evan Ezer, Simon Beis, Sif Beis, we paskin like Taisves. You do not need to check into the family, Kol HaMishpachas Bechetskes Kashrus Hein. A person is, you know, says he's Jewish, he shows up in the shul and he registers for the school, registers for yeshiva, and he claims that he's Jewish. We assume that he's Jewish. I once had a student in my shir, long, long time ago. And he was graduating. And Rabbi Rapp said to me, as he was graduating, he said, you know, did you ever find out if he was Jewish? What? Why would I, you know, investigate if he's Jewish? Anyway, there was a red flag, and I didn't know about it, but anyway, so he's like, maybe someone's to find out if he's Jewish. He went to MTA, he went to, you know, Kotel. Okay, should we find out? Maybe someone should find out if he's Jewish. I was like, you might have told me that before, you know, now he's graduating, I don't know what to do with the guy. But usually we assume, Kol Mishpachos, he's a lovely guy, a real London, Kol Mishpachos Bechetskes Kashrus Hein. We assume that they are Bechetskes Kashrus, unless, of course, there's a red flag otherwise. The Beis Shmuel, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, quotes the opinion of the Rama and Rashi, that no, we don't assume Kol Mishpachos Bechetskes Kashrus Hein. We need a proof, unless we know the family and their family, you know, that we know the family somewhat. Otherwise, we have to check into them. However, in the Pisrei Tshuva, it quotes some other Achreinim, that we don't necessarily paskin like that Rama, we shouldn't be chayshus for the Beis Shmuel. We assume everyone has a Cheskes Kashrus, unless, right, there is a red flag otherwise that we don't know, we don't know about it. The Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos, if a person comes and he says, Misha Bava Amar Gerani, we cannot accept him. If a guy comes and he says, I'm a ger, we don't believe you that you're converted. So Taisa said, well, one second, I thought Taisa, a guy comes and he says he's Jewish, he's Jewish. Why don't we believe him that he said he converted? So Taisa says, no, that's talking about a situation where we knew the guy was a guy. And then he comes and he says he converts. Oh, we knew you before as a guy. You have a cheskas guy. If a guy comes and he says, I was not Jewish, which we don't have no way of knowing that before, and he says, but I converted, then we apply the rule of hapesha asar, hapesha hitir. The one who told us that he was not Jewish told us he converted. We have no independent knowledge of the fact that he wasn't Jewish beforehand. So that's how Taisus interprets that Gemara Nivamis. But otherwise, Shitas HaTaisus is, we typically take people at their word that they're Jewish. The Chachmas Adam, that's the Chai Adam, and Yerdea, so he says, but there was a Takanas Medinas Lita. There was a Takana in Lita. In Lithuania, Shemisha, Bame, Eretz, Acheres, Hein, Ish, or Isha, Bachar, or Besula, Tzarech, Raya, Shu, Yisrael. Has to bring a proof that he's Jewish. So there was such a takana, even though perhaps Me'ikar Adin. We paskin like Taisvis, Kol Mishpachas Bechazkas Kashrus, saying we don't paskin like the Ramah, that that's only if you're Yadua. There was a takana of different communities that we require some kind of separate verification. And that's what goes on in Eretz Yisrael today. Person will make Aliyah, he will need a letter that asserting, verifying their Jewishness. I've written many such letters in my time, testifying on behalf of people davening in my community, in my shul, that they're Jewish and they plan to make Aliyah. Now, you'll just ask, all the verification letter says is, I knew their parents were Jewish. How did I know their parents were Jewish? I didn't know the grandparents. And even if the grandparents, I didn't know the great-grandparents. How did they know I'm Jewish, right? It's a little bit somewhat ironic, right? If I would make Aliyah, I would need someone else to write a letter on behalf of me, but yet I can write letters on behalf of someone else. So it's a little bit odd, but that's the policy Eretz Yisrael has, in order to maintain some sort of standard in terms of who's Jewish and who is not Jewish. Rav Moshe makes this point as well in his Tshuvas. I asked you to see two Tshuvas in Rav Moshe, that if Rav Moshe says, if we don't have independent verification the person was not Jewish, then we take them at their word that they converted. If we have independent verification the person was not Jewish, and then he says he converted, then we need some sort of proof that he did convert. This was a huge deal in Eretz Yisrael. That's why it's such a political issue in Eretz Yisrael. Mi Yehudi, who's Jewish, and you need to bring proof, that you're, of your identity as a Jew, was a huge issue with regards to the Ethiopian Aliyah, where many claimed that they were Jews and they were from the lost 10 tribes. The Mishnah has a debate in Masechta Sanhedrin, what will be with the lost 10 tribes? Are they ever coming back? Are they not coming back? Rabbi Akiva, actually, who's the most merciful of the Tanoim, felt they were never coming back, and the Gemara actually expressed a surprise to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, Shavke l'chasiduse, he left his normal approach of being so kind and merciful, and here he wrote off the 10 tribes. Other Tanoim felt that the 10 tribes are coming back. And once happened, I think we learned this last year at the beginning of Masechta Chulin, Taisa cites from an Eldad Hadani, this certain individual Eldad appeared on the scene, in the earlier before the Rishonim, and he claimed to have been from Shevet Dan, one of the lost 10 tribes, and there were those who accepted him, those who didn't accept him. It was a big controversy. So in the Tshuvas of the Radvaz, he paskins that the 10 lost tribes will come back, and if they claim to be Jewish, we should take them at their word. So this was a big deal in when the Ethiopian Jews came back in the kibbutz Golias that Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, is the center of. So what do we do with Jews who come from faraway lands and claim to have, come from not well-known or well-established Jewish communities and claim to be Jewish? What should their status be? So there were those who accepted these Jews as part of the 10 lost tribes, Rav Avadia and others with sfeikas and all the different kinds of things. Rav Moshe, though, is a Tshuva Negros Moshe, the first Tshuva in Eben Ezer, Chelek Tes, Simon Aleph, that we should not accept the Ethiopian Jews at their word. They need a Geirus. It's a Suffolk, but they should require a Geirus L'chumra. So Rav Moshe has an interesting point. And he says, why? But typically we would accept a person who claims to be Jewish. We take them at their word unless there's a red flag. So Rav Moshe said, no, it's because they don't even know what Jewish means. If you ask them, who's a Jew and who's not a Jew, when there's an intermarriage that occurs, or what establishes a Jewish lineage, they have no knowledge of what being Jewish means, or what our rules of passing on Jewish identity are. So when a person has no knowledge of what it means to be Jewish, then we can't take him at his word that he knows that he is a Jew, because you have no idea what Jewish means. If I would ask you, who is Jewish in the different kinds of relationships. So that's why Rav Moshe said, you can only apply this rule of Kol Mishpachas Becheskes Kashrus, saying if a person knows what it means to be Jewish, if a person clearly doesn't, then that's kind of like a red flag that, you really then can't testify about yourself either as being a religious Jew. And that's why, the Rav Moshe felt that they required Geirus, if not the Geirus Me'ikar Adin, but Geirus L'chumra, which was a big deal. We don't have time to get into it, why that's such a big deal. Just do Geirus. Well, doing Geirus is not so easy according to the standards of the rabbin in Eretz Yisrael. You have to be Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs. If a person's not religious, he can't convert. So that's a big problem. So we end up having many, the Russians, this became a big issue too. We end up having people who aren't Jewish running around Eretz Yisrael, makes things a little bit more complicated. Which is then, the Radvaz had an interesting raya that the 10 tribes will ultimately come back from the pasuk in this week's parash, in Parashas Vayelech, where the pasuk says, Vayash Lichem al Eretz Acheres Kayom Azeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu will get angry at them and send them to a faraway land. And they're there until today. However, the Lamed of the word Vayash Lichem al Eretz Acheres Kayom Azeh, the Pasuk in Parashas Vayelech, is a large Lamed. So Radvaz claims that's like a life preserver that Hashem is throwing to the nations that are sent into exile, that ultimately they could grab onto the life preserver and come back at some point. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring them home, and that's what the Pasuk means in Parashas Hazinu, Yaakov, Chevel, Nachalasoi, Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws you a lasso, a chevel, a rope, that however far gone a person is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could always bring them back. So that's why the 10 lost tribes could come back. Anyway, still, it's a complicated issue with regards to the Mi Yehudi discussion about what we should do with contemporary people making Aliyah and assuming, you know, testifying to their religiosity and Jewishness. Okay.